CliffCentral.com.
Righty, Collectomania will be back this morning at 7:30, so don't miss that. You don't want to be sitting around twiddling your thumbs while we get on with Collectomania. And this morning we'll be joined by Rail from Rail Demby, who's from the South African Gold Coin Exchange. He has got something cool to tell us about. We'll get there in a moment. Also, on this week's episode of Leadership Books Unpacked, Manda Tsifularo and Ngobile Ngobo will unpack Deep Purpose, the Heart and Soul of High-Performance Companies by a guy called Ranjay Gulati. They do all the hard work for you, these guys. What they do is they take the book and they give you a condensed version. It's really cool. They look at purpose and how it's a powerful driver of culture, providing a framework for consistent decision-making throughout an organization, which ultimately helps to sustain long-term financial returns for the company's shareholders. That's Leadership Books Unpacked. Wherever you get your podcasts, you know we're on all of the different podcast providers, proudly sponsored by Hollard Life Solutions and Superlead. So big ups to Hollard Life Solutions and Superlead for bringing you Leadership Books Unpacked. By the way, if you have any business, any kind of message, whether it's a service or a product that you would like to advertise to an amazing podcast audience, make sure you get hold of us, because this is how you talk to the people that matter. I always say our listeners are the ones that count, because they have they're tech savvy, they're smart, they're involved, they're engaged in the world. A lot of them own their own businesses. A lot of them work for very powerful companies. A lot of them have some disposable income, own property, all that kind of thing. If you want to reach that audience, and if you know people who need to advertise to that audience, connect us. We can help each other. Just send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. Don't mention that often enough, but it's kind of our business. And you know, we've been doing a lot of branded content for businesses, and we could possibly help you with yours. So get hold of us ASAP and stop missing out on an audience that you won't get anywhere else. Podcast audiences are not watching scheduled TV or, you know, listening to radio or any of that stuff. So you need to reach these people where they are, which is right here. Let us welcome back Mash and Lee Ass, and we've got a lot to talk about this morning. There's plenty of stuff going on the show. We've got a couple of stories in the news that we want to talk about. There's also that stuff that Dr. Hanan was on about just now, which I think is really, really interesting and very valuable. Of course, you can always get hold of us on contact@cliffcentral.com if you've got something you want to pitch to Dr. Hanan as a problem that you need solved or something that you're struggling with or dealing with in your own life. Let us know about it. We want to hear from you. All right.
Back to what Dr. Hanan just said, there's a video I actually watched this weekend where scientists actually took a group of mice and basically put them in a chamber of water for 6 minutes. Well, for a long time, but normally the mice drown at 6 minutes. So every time they put a mice in there, after 6 minutes, it drowns. It's guaranteed to drown after 6 minutes. But they then actually took a turn with the experiment by actually removing some of the mice as they started to drown and then put them back in the water afterwards. And then what happened was they'd start lasting 16 hours.
Yeah.
From 6 minutes to 16 hours. And this was because just the thought of knowing that, okay, I might be taken out of here again, that hope on its own
kept them alive.
Gave them that oomph to just keep them going. So they had it in them all along.
Yeah, you see that experiment's quite famous, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because it's such a great, powerful indicator of what is possible. Now, if mice who supposedly don't have the kind of reasoning skills that humans have, and they certainly don't have the creative abilities that a Homo sapiens would have in our brains, you know, mice are quite rudimentary mammals at base, but they use mice for these experiments because usually if it can happen to a mouse, it can happen to a human. It's fairly easy for us to work out what's instinct and what is actually reason and rationality and the stuff that supposedly we have that they don't. But isn't it amazing that a six-minute mouse that thinks it has no chance at survival will just give up and die and drown? But if they think they'll be saved, if they think there's some miraculous thing that's going to come up out of the blue and pull them out of there, they can keep going for 16 hours. Now, that's not just a small, you know, that's not like a 10% window. That is enormous. Yeah. That's just absolutely incredible. 16 hours as opposed to 6 minutes. you don't know what you're capable of. We've all heard these stories about, like, you know, a mom who will rescue their kid by turning over a car or something. You hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, like, what humans are actually capable of and how superhuman we can be in certain circumstances. It's just incredible what you're capable of. And we underestimate ourselves. We cut ourselves off at the knees. We don't give ourselves a chance to actually do the incredible things we're capable of. And we give up way too easily.
Mm-hmm. But talking about rudimental mammals, and just to correct you, they're rodents. But
yes, and mammals are rodents. Rodents form part of they tit feed their young. That makes you a mammal.
No, you're right.
Okay. People seem that. Just by the way, when it comes to this, is called taxonomy. A lot of people go, you get plants and you get animals, right? Which is correct. So you get plants and animals. But then when people say, an insect isn't an animal, of course it's an animal. What, does it fall under plants? Insects are animals.
True. Yeah.
So people get very confused with this
talking
stuff.
About
they say primates.
Rudimental.
A primate is also a mammal, is also an animal, and we're also primates.
Mm.
Anyway, going back to your point.
I've had toothache over the weekend. It always kind of happens on a Saturday afternoon when you know that the dentist is only open on the Monday, right?
Uh-huh.
It's been so painful. It's been like part of my dreams that I think I'm at the dentist or waiting or desperate for help.
Yeah.
But it's also such a primitive thing to get us down. It's like it's been getting us down for centuries, having a sore tooth.
Toothache. Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, and rendering like these big cavemen down for the day.
Yeah.
And kings who won't go into war because they've got a toothache. It's like so pathetic, but it's true.
Well, I mean, again, if you think about it, this is a great illustration of what you're capable of. I mean, people have survived. Like you remember in the old days before dentists were a thing and they had anesthetics, people would literally take a pair of pliers and pull your tooth out that way. And people survived. The mice that survived for 16 hours – imagine what you could be capable of if you were pushed to the nth degree. You know, we often talk to, like, Ryan Strumroth, who we've had on the show a couple of times, and we're going to get him on again soon. He's written another book, and he's done he's crazy. He gets into this ice-cold water and, like, swims in the most terrible, terrible, cold, freezing, nasty places on planet Earth. And he's phenomenal. I mean, he does this stuff, and then you say to him, how did you do that? And he says, I don't know, but I just did it. And you read about Lewis Gordon Pugh, who does the same things, and you hear about these people who climb mountains and, you know, go and live in the forest for a year. And it's just unbelievable. If you pushed yourself, like, for example, I try to do, you know, a little bit of training and exercise, either at home or I'll go to the gym, and, like, I stop when I'm tired. But actually, I should probably carry on a bit because that's where the real activity happens. That's where the real growth takes place.
Yes.
Being in discomfort.
The minute we're uncomfortable these days, we think, oh, well, we better stop doing that. Meanwhile, that's the only place that you have room to grow.
Absolutely.
Carl says, toothache happens on a Saturday, Leanne, because of the biltong that goes along with the beer and the rugby.
True.
Speaking of toothaches, I actually fell down the cheapskate rabbit hole, extreme cheapskate rabbit hole on TLC this weekend.
What happened?
And well, first of all, I like to consider myself as quite frugal.
Yeah.
So I try to save money wherever I can.
Well, that's for example, these days, if you don't do that, you will end up very, very poor very quickly.
Absolutely. So, for example, I mean, I go to coffee shops. I'll, like, snatch a sweetener, you know, or two. But we have to save money however possible. So I fell down the cheapskate rabbit hole on TLC, the Learning Channel. And as you guys know, the TLC Learning Channel shows are quite it's hard to look away. They're quite cringe, but it's hard to look away.
I agree.
So there was an episode of Cheapskates that I actually came across where the woman actually was so cheap. Her and her husband were so cheap that they didn't even want to go to the dentist. This guy actually pulled her tooth out live on camera.
Listen, you say cheap, but some stuff that you really don't need to spend money on. I went through my house the other day. I'm like, oh God, I definitely, there's some stuff that needs fixing, right? I need to get somebody to come and help me cut down some of these very tall trees. And, you know, there's some things that are hugely desperate for maintenance at the moment. And I'm like, I could probably make that wait a little while longer. But now it's reached a point where I have to do it. And I don't want to spend the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a cheap guy. Like, I don't mind spending money. But right now is not the best time. And you are looking around. No. You don't have to be the most observant person on earth to get the message right now that spending money is not a great idea right now, right? I mean, that sounds pretty obvious. Does that make me
standard at this point?
So does that make me cheap that I'm not fixing, like, you know, paint that's peeling on one of the walls or roof tiles that need replacement? Or
no, you're being logical about it, you know. The time has come where we have to change the way we spend.
Trim back.
And also take advantage of everything that we can. Like, I mean, if you think about it, going to the dentist, I don't think there's any medical aid in South Africa that'll fully cover a dental appointment.
No.
You know, so you know that you're going to end up forking out, what is it, 6,000 rand a tooth for whatever you need done.
Jesus, is that what it costs you?
Yeah, it's so expensive, man.
I had a filling done like a couple of weeks ago. That didn't cost me that much money.
Well, let's see.
What kind of dentist are you going to?
I'll report back.
Are you going to?
Rianne.
I mean, like, what kind of dentist is this? Is this like one of those Hollywood dentists that you go to?
Actually, now that I think of it, it is. It's one of those that offer the full, you know, Botox thing.
And oh, no.
Go the technical...
dentist to the stars.
Just go to a cheaper one. Go to one of those sort of people who have like a door that doesn't even look like it could be a dentist practice. And it says, it's got like
it
a picture of
tooth
it.
Surgery.
It's got like a picture of a tooth on it, you know, in a dodgy neighborhood.
It says nothing, just a picture of a tooth. Yeah. That's where I go. Look at these sparkling whites.
No, that's true. Yeah.
But back to actually saving money and all of that. Being cheap is where it's at. We have to cut costs wherever we can at this point. And as I went down this rabbit hole of cheapskates, I actually took notes.
Yeah.
I'd like to share these with you.
Okay,
guys,
all right.
I think we can all learn something from these
people. I love it. So MASH has basically compiled a list of things that can make you a cheapskate if you are negative about it, but if you're positive about it, like ways to save money. Let's be optimistic about this. Here is MASH's list of things that can reduce your costs. All right, MASH, we're all ears, dude. Go for it.
All right. So
made notes.
There's an episode I saw where a woman was using one light bulb throughout the house. So as she went from room to room, she'd unscrew the light bulb, go to the next room, screw it in. I think this is a great way to save electricity. I think that just having one light bulb, first of all, saves you cost, because now if it dies, just buy one light bulb.
Oh,
I think
God.
That's very smart on
all right.
her behalf.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That's super cheapskate, but let's go.
Another one, there's a woman who flosses with her own hair. This is one that I think, obviously I don't have the kind of hair that can floss, but, you know.
That's Leanne terrible.
Can help me out there.
My hair's too fine. I've been in a situation before where I've been really desperate talking about biltong and toothache.
Yeah.
Where I've just been, you know, when you're desperate for a piece of floss. And I've tried my hair before, but my hair's too thin, it wouldn't do the trick. So she must have like some super barbaric hair going on there.
But it works. It does the trick. It does the trick. And then another one, there's a man who showers with his clothes on to save money on electricity and detergent. I think this is a really smart one. I don't know why we weren't doing this all along, actually.
No.
How do you get into all the nooks and crannies?
No,
I always wondered that on Big Brother when they were bathing in their costumes.
No, you know what? This is stupid. Mash, I hate to like already start attacking some of these ideas, but the light bulb one is dumb because you could just switch the lights off as you exit the room if you're a serious cheapskate. You know,
that is true.
What are you going to save? You're still going to go through bulbs because the bulb has a lifespan.
They're saying you don't have to buy another one when one breaks.
Oh, you mean just keep using until you've eventually run out of bulbs? Okay, fair enough. So yeah, then that's
absolutely.
So the hair one. Obviously not everybody has the hair. And then this one, this is not a very clever idea, showering with your clothes on. It's first of all, you're not going to get them clean if you've got them on. Second of all, in winter, you get out of the shower with your clothes on that are wet. Can you imagine how freezing cold you'll be?
Oh.
And what are you using, washing powder or soap on your clothes while they're on you? This is a very, very bad idea. I reckon that you'll take longer to wash that off, use more water, probably use more soap. It's not a great idea. Plus, what are those clothes going to look like when you take them out of the shower off your body? It's just gross.
Yeah, that is kind of gross. And then the next one is just in time for the festive season. So it's festive money save. It's a festive money saving idea.
All right.
So there was a woman who steals items from her family and gives them back to them as gifts on Christmas. This, I think, is the smartest one. Because you can actually.
You lost your favorite spanner. And then suddenly you buy them a replacement, but it's just their spanner.
Yeah. It's their original one.
Yeah, come Christmas, here's your headphones that went missing. Here's your sunglasses that went missing last year.
That is terrible.
That's a really smart one.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Okay, the last one is cancel that gym subscription.
Yeah.
And store all your books in suitcases, then use those suitcases as weights.
Oh, that's clever. Okay, well, that's quite clever. I mean,
that's a smart one.
You know, you don't have to buy weights. Like, there's heavy shit lying around your house anyway.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Because, I mean, I always say that about a gym, is that you're just paying to lift heavy things.
Yeah, correct. So you
just lift
might
heavy
as well
things at home.
Right, correct. So a lot of people here, here's Samantha. She says, there's a woman who cooks lasagna in the dishwasher on Cheapskate. Jesus. I mean, really?
That is so gross.
It's so gross because you imagine all the stuff that you've been washing. Ugh, that's like that. You may as well use the dishwater from your sink as the water in the pot. That's so revolting.
Have you ever cleaned out that filter at the bottom of your dishwasher?
I don't have a dishwasher.
You've got to actually take out the bottom drawer and then do the unscrewing. And it actually stinks. So can you imagine?
That is gross. But these people do take being cheap to the extreme. And I think we're at a point as a country where we actually have to consider some of these options.
Oh, here's an interesting point from Therence Cameron about the dentist, Leanne. Apparently, when you pay cash, it's cheaper than on medical aid. So you might want to think about that.
Ooh.
Okay. I love this. Parallel Parking says, trying to save money wastes time. Trying to save time wastes money. Living as if the cup is half full is not fulfilling anything. Well, I don't know if you're actually giving us a solution or a problem here, Parallel Parking, but I'll take your word for it. I mean, some of that is true. I remember there was this really, really cheapskate guy that we knew who he would drive to three different shops to compare prices, not realizing that the driving there was costing him petrol. And probably ended up costing him even more because he was too cheap to just buy from the one shop. I mean, listen, if you go online and you compare prices now, that makes a lot of sense. But obviously he was doing this before online. You know, but you couldn't look up the price of something unless you had the newspaper. You know, there were those people who had like the pages with the advertising and they would look at those and compare the prices and then decide they'd go and shop here rather than there. Because the prices there were better.
Like the macro liquor catalog.
Correct. That was always your favorite thing, Leanne. We used to look at that. That was how we did Christmas shopping for Leanne. We'd look at the macro liquor catalog.
I'd read it for weeks. It was fascinating. But also, I remember being at a stage in my life where I was working so hard and such long hours that I needed to pay for other people to do things for me. So that was kind of a vicious cycle. Ooh. If you think about it. The less time you have to clean your house, you now have to have somebody pay someone to clean your house, pay someone
absolutely.
To cut your lawn, pay someone to fetch your laundry, pay someone to wash your car. You know, so it's like, where does it end? Eventually you're paying for people to buy you clothes,
so what
to
you
train you and to prepare your meals.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that you should take those duties back and do them yourself?
I just remember being at that point and thinking, you know, is this really worth it? Just so that I can work for more hours, but I'm ending up spending more on other people doing my stuff.
So, all right.
I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I just remember being in that situation.
So here's Carl says, "Hey Gareth, how the hell do you not have a dishwasher? It's 2022 for fuck's sake." Come, all right. Well, okay. I live on my own, so there's not ever a pile of dishes, and when there are, like, I have a domestic worker who come in and clean if there's a lot of dishes, but it's just me. I don't make that much of a mess. I don't need a dishwasher. I don't have space in the scullery of my kitchen for a dishwasher. I've got a washing machine and a tumble dryer there. And I don't see the point of having a dishwasher. I've looked at them. I've thought about it. It seems okay. But, I mean, I've also got a sink and some soap. I don't see the point of, you know, unless I have a whole lot of people around, which, as I say, either I'll do the dishes or I have a domestic worker do the dishes the next day. But I don't need to buy a dishwasher. I don't use that many dishes.
I don't know. So obviously moving from
sell me the idea, Leanne.
To a cottage.
Sell me the idea.
I got rid of the dishwasher.
Oh, you did? Okay, all right.
There wasn't facility for it. But I hate not having it. And I think it's one of those things, if you've had it, then
you can't get rid of it. Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one person with a dishwasher, but he lives alone. And the funny thing is, he's always hand washing everything. So I never actually saw the need for one because of that.
Look, I suppose also what Leanne is saying is right. Like, when you start off using something and then you suddenly don't have it, it does feel like there's a limb missing, you know? If for example, you know, you haven't had a heated towel rail before and then you do get one, it's like the best thing you've ever had. Even though with Eskom load shedding and the cost of electricity, it's just not a great idea to have something like that. But then suddenly if someone takes it away from you, you're like, oh my God, I've just lost some important part of my life. Mm. You know what I mean?
I remember it was the first anniversary gift that we bought each other as a married couple was a dishwasher. And I swear it added years to our marriage.
Well, yeah, because
that arguing over who's going to do the dishes.
It's one of the things that couples argue about the most. So, yeah, I can understand that. Anyway, I mean, I'm still not, and I don't want to go down this road because I know what's going to happen. But Lebang was on the other day. And by the way, Lebang had her baby. I forgot to mention it all of last week. But she eventually gave birth to a healthy baby girl who she's called Tabang. And we will hopefully meet Tabang on the show this week. If not this week, then certainly in the next few days. But yes, congratulations to Lebang. But I bring her up because the air fryer conversation, which we've had 1,000 times with her, she's a total like air fryer addict. And she's convinced that the thing I need in my life is an air fryer. Now, if I don't have one, I don't know what I'm missing. But if I get one, I think it may just be like a really cool thing. You've got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, it all depends.
I've seen some people whose kitchens are so.
It all depends on whether you warm stuff up in the oven.
What do you mean?
If you don't warm, if you generally don't warm things up in the oven, then it's probably not worth it, because that's all it is a tiny oven.
It's a tiny oven. That's what I thought it was all along.
Well, yeah. I'll be able to cook.
Don't think about the word fryer. That doesn't work.
Maybe I'll be able to cook things that I otherwise haven't been cooking. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
You would be able to.
I mean, here's Tracy. Tracy's got another example. Heated car seats. Life changer. Now, once you've had heated car seats, you're like, oh, every other car is shit because they don't have heated car seats, right? Mm.
That's true, yeah. Heated and ventilated.
Cruise control.
Cruise control. Like the simplest thing, because if you're in a fancy car with heated seats and cruise control, then the minute you get back into some little ordinary car without those two things, you're like, what a boring car this is. What a stupid backward step I've taken in my life. There is this thing that happens with us where we, as humans, the moment we improve our life in some way, we reset that as the default. So we don't realize like life is actually pretty good. But then once you get things that you think make life better, you think, oh, well, that's how life should always be. So anything less than that's going to make me unhappy.
Absolutely. This weekend when we were test driving cars, I ended up actually trying out some cars myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a car I test drove, which had adaptive cruise control. Now, this takes it a step further. And basically, it actually detects cars in front of you, the speed they're going at. And you don't have to set it or anything.
It just works it out.
You just forget about it. And it even holds the lane for you. And in some more advanced cars, you just indicate and even switches lanes for you. So you can just be on your phone just watching Netflix on the highway.
Well, I mean, here's some more people with savings ideas. So Gabriella says, cancelling a gym subscription plus waiting much longer to upgrade your phone contract equals big savings per month. Keeping your fridge and pantry clean and organized helps you see what you really need and should use. See, these are practical things that people are coming up with. Lenise says she doesn't own a microwave. So there we go. Someone said,
I recently changed my Vodacom subscription from a big package that I didn't need because I hardly make phone calls, plus you've got WhatsApp, to a 99 Rand data package. And it makes so much more sense. I was paying like 6,000 Rand a month.
Look at you saving money. All right, well, now that we've all been schnorrer the whole morning, let's move on to something else because it's time for us to check out Collectomania, which is always one of my favorite things. Every week, Collectomania brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can find out more by going along to scoinshop.com. That's coin with an S in front of it, shop.com. Take a look at them. They've got some amazing, amazing things on there. And you can also, if you haven't been smart enough to have been investing in gold or silver or platinum over the last while, you're probably going to kick yourself because everything else has looked terrible from an investment point of view. One of the few things that you could say, oh, thank goodness I bought a little bit of gold, a bit of silver maybe, if that's what you're into, because they've got all of that stuff at the Scoin Shop. You would be thrilled with your investment decisions right now if you'd done that. Not like Bitcoin. Right? Not like property or stocks, which have all been useless over the last while. No, gold. Oh. This is what you should have been investing in, you fool. So there we are. That's the important information that I had to give you this morning. The South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop have actually partnered with a South African NFT marketplace called Moment to tokenize 18 million rands worth of ZAR coin collections. Now, you need to listen to this because this is really, really interesting. You know, they're always looking for new projects to get involved in. And the South African Gold Coin Exchange, they never sit on their hands there. We've met Rail a couple of times. He's with us this morning. Hey, Rail, nice to see you again. And thank you for being on the show. How are you doing?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, you good?
Thank you very much. I'm good. And you?
Yeah, awesome. What I love about what you guys do is you're always looking for new things to get involved in. And you've actually partnered with Moment, and we'll meet the guy who's the CTO, the Chief Tech Officer at Moment in just a moment. His name is Adam. But before that, just tell me what it is that keeps you guys innovating in this field. Because, you know, coins have been around for millions of years, but the way you guys do it and the way you think about it seems to be changing almost every single day. What keeps you moving? Because this is really clever stuff.
Well, thanks for that. I mean, it's a family business, been around for 50 years, and coins can be pretty boring, a little bit weird, the themes that they come up with. So I've spent the last 10 years in the business trying to make things cool or connecting other brands or payment opportunities or maybe a partnership that makes gold cool again. I mean, you've seen Troy Gold as well that we work with to try to make gold even easier to use and spend and borrow against. And then when I saw the NFT space a few years ago, or maybe like a few months ago, I said, how can this work? But how can we keep gold and coins like legit in the sense that people feel safe? And NFTs are coming out of a pretty wacky little spin at the moment where people bought pictures of rocks for $5 million and now it's worth nothing. Well, whoopsies there. But what we're trying to do is connect the real coins, the 100-year-old coins, with modern technology. And I think we've done that now with Moment, and we're really excited to launch this.
Well, here's Adam from Moment. Hey, Adam, it's nice to have you on this morning. How are you doing?
How's it, guys? Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm doing fantastic.
All right, so you're the chief tech officer. I mean, when the world of NFTs and the world of gold, which seldom overlap, come together, you get a good idea like this. Just give us a little bit of background as to how you put these together with Rail, because this is quite innovative and different.
Yeah, I think from the beginning, we've always been shouting true value and utility in the NFT space. We've never been big about speculation. So when one of the guys on our team, he was obsessed about coins, and he was like, you've got to chat to Scoin. And we were like, okay, well, let's do it. So then we hopped on a call with Rail. And, you know, I think immediately we just, you know, knew this was going to be an amazing idea. Mm-hmm. We've just taken the coin set and made it digital.
All right, so let's talk about this coin set for a minute, because Rail, you educated us all the last time you were on about the Sammy Marks Tiki, which I had no idea about. These things are rare as hell, and if you find one, you are like overnight one of the richest people. And you can suddenly take it over to you guys at the SA Gold Coin Exchange, and you can walk out with a bank account full of money where you had this one little Tiki. There are only a few of them floating around. But I didn't know that the ZAR, the Zuid-Afrikaanse Republiek, there was a coin set that was first minted back in, what, 1874 here. And that's what we're talking about with these NFTs. Tell us about this coin set and why it's so valuable.
So I must be honest, I'm not a coin expert as much as I'm in this game. I'm more into innovation and business, but I do understand this coin set. Mm-hmm. You know, it was probably 10, 20 years ago that the company found it. And we've kept it safe in our vaults all this time. And when the coinage, the first ever coins that were created out of after the Boer War, these were the coins that we used. People were using them to buy their loaf of bread or their cow or whatever they could do with it. And when you keep coins for a very long time safe and not scratched and looking beautiful, then the grading and the rarity and the value of it only increases. So imagine just a regular year like 2010 in South Africa, and there's the 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, all the way to the 200 rand note. Imagine you got that from the mint and you put it in a plastic bag and you kept that for 150 years. Now, I don't know what that might look like in the future, but this is the same. This is a series of coins that were used during this time 150 years ago that wow. are in pristine, perfect condition. Mm-hmm. And when you try to wrap it up and sell it to one person, you know, $1 million is quite a lot of money. And we believe that we could fractionalize this, tokenize this, and give every South African and others a chance to own a little piece of this and not the entire thing. So there's so much beautiful history that we've written. There's a white paper, which is almost like a summary and an entire story of this coin set. Mm-hmm. We'd love for you, if you're interested, to learn about it. You can call us. We can speak to you. We have coin experts who are really, really good at this stuff. And what we're trying to do is squeeze this world together and let people, you know, for $200, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 rand, you can own a little piece of this. I mean, if any of you could own one little microscopic piece of the Mona Lisa, you probably would all say yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
now,
this is so clever.
The same thing.
It's so clever. I mean, okay, we can't buy the whole set of coins unless we've got a couple of $1 million lying around. So rather own a fraction of this, and you will have essentially your piece of it, it's like a certificate which entitles you to that piece of it, which you can obviously sell on to someone else if you need to, and you can find out all about this. But it's owning a piece of history, first of all. Second of all, it's a really good investment. Third of all, you're putting your toe into the world of NFTs, and you're trying to discover some new alternative way of investing, which I think is so clever. We're all looking for new ways to invest. Tell me just quickly, these coins, they've been painstakingly sourced. They've been collected, put into a specially designed presentation case. This is an 1892 proof coin set. This is a separate thing. Tell us about that quickly.
So this is the set that will be tokenized and turned into these NFTs. So this is the highest grading of that set.
Right.
And maybe Adam can explain how they were able to take this and then split it up into tiny chunks and allow people the chance to own just a little bit, and how the blockchain works behind the scenes.
Yeah, tell us.
In owning your stake.
Yeah, tell us, Adam, because sure. this is hard for some of us to understand. So, like, baby steps here.
Cool. I'll start with just one of the coolest parts about it. We 3D modeled the coin set. So what's really nice about when you're buying this coin set online is you can actually get an idea of what it looks like, even up close. And it has this amazing appeal and look to it. So, you know, traditionally when you're buying into something which you can't really actually see, or, you know, maybe you just see a flat picture of it, it's just a whole different experience. You know, firstly, and then secondly, you know, I can get into the complexities, but essentially, you know, you get cryptocurrencies like Ethereum and Bitcoin, which people are aware of, and each Ethereum is a token. So with NFTs, you're doing the exact same thing, but instead of it being a currency, you're just linking one token to a specific asset, right? In this case, it's the coin set. So we create 1,510 tokens, and we've linked it to this coin set. And there's three different types of tokens. There's the gold tier, the silver tier, and the bronze tier. And which all give you different levels of equity in the coin set. So when you buy this thing, the whole journey, you see this 3D coin set, you know it's attached to a specific piece of equity. And then when you buy it, you know that on the blockchain stamped there that you own that percentage of that coin set. So what's really cool about this as well is that NFT marketplaces are becoming a proper thing globally. So when you're trying to sell alternative investments, you often struggle to do so. You've got your local market, which you can sell it towards. And even if you could do it globally, you know, if it's not NFT'd, you kind of, it's a bit scary. It's like, okay, transfer the money to the account. Okay, now I will somehow give you ownership of this thing. Whereas with NFTs, what's quite nice is actually you can sell it to a global market, number one. And number two, on purchase of the NFT, automatically the money goes to the other person. So there's no kind of intermediary step, you know, in place, which is really, really nice when you're dealing with expensive assets that you want to sell quite fast.
Very, very clever. I love this. But just so that people know, you can also still go and buy like some gold coins, some silver. You guys have got a whole treasure trove of stuff, right, Rail? I mean, you've given us a little bit of insight. We've looked at a James Bond coin. We've looked at some French coins that you're doing for Bastille Day. I mean, you've got an amazing array of stuff there. So if people prefer the old school way of doing things, you can help them with that as well. But if you want to be interested and you want to be involved in something that's new, that's novel, that's interesting, that's cool, then you can do this with NFTs and this amazing proof set.
Yeah. Thanks, Gareth. Really doing good for us today. Well, you know,
but it's true. I mean, like, you can't go and buy gold on the street. You know, you got to buy it from somewhere, and you can only buy it in certain kinds of formats.
So we've had relationships with the biggest mints in the world for the last 50 years. The Paris Mint, which was founded in 642. AD. So for a business to say AD at the end of their name, they must be pretty old or pretty good. So we've tried to connect with these coins, and some of them are like cool themes. Some of them are really weird. We choose which coins South Africans might actually like. There's an Olympic series coming out in 2 years from the Paris Mint, which will be monumental. There's new launch coins coming out in the next few weeks. And then there's 100-year-old coins that we find all the time from dealers and public and people, little old grannies coming into the shop and saying, hey, what is this? And we say, oh, well, you've actually got 10 really special 1967 proof Kruger Rands. And we say, wow, like, oh, I got these for 50 Rand and now they're 50,000 Rand each. So these are the kinds of stories we love. Yeah. And the idea with Adam and Moment is you could own a piece now. Just something to clarify, the word utility. All of us know that there's utility in your car. You can drive it, or your watch, you can read it, or tell the time. But utility in NFTs is like, well, what can I really do with this? Can I look at it? Can I show it? But sometimes there's embedded extra value behind the scenes. And utility that Moment are trying to get out of their projects is what we really are proud of, is that you can come and if you own a piece of the set in the top two tiers, you can come and view the coins in person and take a look at them and touch them and see them. And I mean, that's just one thing. There's also being part of a community behind the scenes, sure, and getting access and value into future projects. But, you know, in a world of NFTs where you're buying a piece of image and you don't know what's behind it, giving the person utility is a really important part of this vibe to be part of. And just a warning or an idea for everybody involved in this is everything has a future or an afterlife or expressed or extended value. Mm-hmm. And look out for that utility when you get into this.
But, you know, you
I wanted to ask on that note as well. Sorry, Gareth, is okay. So if we take this collection, this coin collection, particularly, so it obviously gets its value from the rarity, from the condition that it's in, from the age that it's at, and surely those things will increase over time. Is it dependent at all, number one, on the actual current metal prices? And number two, what if somebody unearthed by complete surprise an identical set that had just as much value or was as in good condition? Would it affect the value of this current collection now?
So, brilliant questions. Number one, this set only has 2 gold coins and the other 8 coins are actually not gold. So gold is like a tiny portion of the value of the set. There's a red, brown penny and a bronze one and some silver, which are as scarce and rare. And gold is actually like a tiny percentage of its value, its intrinsic value. And the second question is, in the white paper and the description of the coin set, it clearly defines how many coins were made in each denomination, in the grading that it was in, how many are found and how many are actually out there. And when you start to understand that this is like at the highest level, and yes, you could find another coin similar, but it might be a lower grade, or yes, you may be not be able to find another coin. That's what makes this whole set in entirety so special. But that's a great question, and every coin that is graded can be Googled or searched online using the grading companies like PCGS or NGC. You can actually track that coin and see when it was and how many are similar graded like that. And those two are great questions. You know, the provenance, the backstory, the history is what really makes us special. But there's also a lot of fact and pure scientific equation on how we know that these figures are right. And this whole set has been audited and looked after by some incredible auditors, Schindler's attorneys. So we're also making sure that this is, again, 100% legit.
Right. That's an important. I love those questions, and those answers make a whole lot of sense. But just quickly, I think a lot of people are also confused as to whether or not, you know, gold coins, silver coins, whatever kind of coins they might be, can all these things be tokenized? I mean, Adam, this is a question for you. Would it be possible in the future for anything like this to be tokenized? Is that what makes these NFTs so interesting?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the kind of exciting and scary part. Maybe just to give you an example of something that we're tokenizing at the moment, just to kind of get your ideas flowing, is that we tokenized our own YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So we split up the revenues into 1,000, you know, different NFTs where you can buy, and we're producing an amazing Web3 educational content because we believe it's extremely it's extremely important and powerful technology that we want to broadcast not only to Africa but to the rest of the world. So you're buying into that educational content and the revenue it will produce, as well as all of our other videos.
Right.
And also to serve as a purpose for other smaller creators. I mean, as a small creator, let's just say you've got, I don't know, 500 subscribers. You don't really want to go create a whole business and then get shareholders, and you don't know that. That's not what you do. You produce content. So
right.
We can provide awesome ways for different types of alternative investments. And yeah, you can fractionalize practically anything with this technology.
I love it.
Amazing.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for sharing this with us this morning. This is a unique opportunity and something that's very, very cool. I like the way it's a bit of forward thinking with a product that's been around for centuries, millennia. And you can find out more by going along to Scoinshop. You can find them on scoinshop.com. Or you can look up the South African Gold Coin Exchange and actually go and visit them at their offices. They're in Sandton, and you'd be very pleased to see what kinds of stuff they have there. Rael, always good to see you. Thank you very much, Adam.
It's a pleasure.
And we'll catch up soon. Thanks, guys. Cool. Very, very nice. So there we go. There's some stuff to think about. It's always exciting. There's always new and interesting stuff.
I had a little bit of money to invest in these things.
I know. That's the problem, right? All right.
It's like window shopping or looking at a magazine, you know. It's still interesting, even if you aren't going to or can't invest at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, look,
just
frankly,
like the mice, it gives us hope to actually be in the loop about these things.
So we've come full circle, hey Mash. You started this hour by telling us about the mice, and like this this great story, it's all come full circle. So now we can go back to the mice. It's beautiful. All right. Hopefully you have a good week in store. You have some exciting things to do this week, some people to see, places to go, stuff to do. I've got a long list of stuff. That's how I like to start my Monday. Lists, you know me, Leanne, right? Lists of everything.
Yeah, tick off, I do.
Tick off.
And knowing you, you'll probably get them all done.
Well, that's my goal for today. And keeping busy and getting all of that shit done is part of it. And hopefully when we reconvene, we can also find out about Lebang's baby, who I mentioned just in passing today, but I should have brought up for you last week. Also, I kind of wanted her to be the one to break the news, but I thought, no, it's been a week, so I can't make you wait any longer. So Lebang is now...
So that she could actually... hold it up and go, here is the baby.
Yes,
Simba.
All that shit. So that's what we were hoping for. But we'll probably do that on the show at some point. All right. Anything else from you, Mash, before we close it off?
All right. Well, in terms of Lebang's baby, there's actually a really interesting story.
I knew it.
Somebody in the office actually guessed Lebang's baby, not even guessed, prophesized Lebang's baby's name.
I know this
story. I'm sure you've heard of
it. Yes. So, I want to wait before we tell the story because I think we've got to give the gift to Lebang first. But this is pretty amazing. I mean, without knowing anything, and we didn't know whether it was going to be a girl or a boy, we didn't know the name, this person had a gift already for the baby. With the baby's name on it, before Lebang had even decided on a name, and before she knew whether it was going to be a girl or a boy, but certainly before we knew. So, I mean, this is an interesting story. So if you believe in people who have the ability to predict things, this is going to blow your mind. It's one of those like Nostradamus kind of stories. It's a very big deal. Anything else from you, Leanne, before we close it up?
No, just interested to hear that. And, I'll report back on how much my tooth costs. We'll see.
Oh yeah, and what if is it a front or a back one? What are we looking at here?
It's the very last one.
Oh, okay.
At the back.
All right, so you're not going to have you're not going to
have pliers.
You're not going to be joining us on next Monday's show with a huge gap in the front here somewhere. That would be a problem.
No, but that's likely to happen at any time. Oh. Remember that these are porcelain.
Oh, you already had those replaced. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. At any point, I could be a toothless wonder.
That would be so revolting. I hope that doesn't happen during the course of this show's lifespan. All right, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent day. Cheers. Be good and enjoy your Monday. Get lots done. CliffCentral.com.